Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Jesus is the good shepherd who seeks out his lost and straying sheep. He is the great physician who finds sick souls in order to heal them. He is the wise teacher who calls the foolish to leave behind their simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. As such, he called sinners to be his disciples during his ministry. As we heard this morning at the seaside, he called Simon Peter, along with Andrew, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, saying to them, "Come, follow me." Through the gospel, you too have been called to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, to be his disciple, means to come under his authority, to learn from him. As he declares in the Gospel of John, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." And thus it is by the word that one becomes a disciple. It is through the word that one remains a disciple. The word of God is the active power, powerful to call you and to lead you unto everlasting salvation. Today, our gospel lesson has much for us to learn when it comes to our Christian calling. And from the events of this gospel, we learn what the calling to be a Christian means. In the first place, we learn that our Christian calling does not contradict or undermine our earthly work, but rather transforms it. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that each should remain in the condition in which he was called. So are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? To be a Christian does not obliterate those things. You remain such. Yes, even remain a worker. But just as your calling to be a Christian transforms your domestic vocations in marriage, in the home, with your children, with your parents, so also to be a Christian should transform how you work. It gives you a different motivation, a different compulsion to work than the unbeliever. Think of all the reasons why people work today, why they have jobs. Most people work simply because they have to. They have to earn money. They have to survive somehow. So they get a job to make money to survive. Others have plenty on which to survive, and yet they want more. So out of greed, they work. So others work for the sake of personal honor, of pride, to make a name for themselves. Some even just work for personal pleasure. They just enjoy what they do. Some of those motivations are sinful, some not so much, some are okay. But the Christian chiefly ought to work because God has ordained it. Even in the Garden of Eden, we hear, before the fall, how God placed Adam in the garden to work it and to tend it. And after the fall, God clearly teaches that it is by the sweat of our brow that we eat bread. So the Bible teaches, do your work quietly and earn your own living. Also in Ephesians, let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Here then is the other reason why we Christians are motivated to work. Not only because God has commanded it, but also for the sake of others, for the sake of our neighbor. Here then is your motivation if you are no longer working, if you are blessed to be retired, or if you're blessed to stay at home and raise your children. You work, you labor for the sake of those whom God has placed in your lives, that you might help those in need. Even if you are not working a 9-to-5 any longer, even if not pulling in a paycheck, What you do with your days is done in obedience to God as a Christian and out of love for others. And so we see as a Christian that we do not cease to receive daily bread. Indeed, God calls us to receive daily bread. He tells us to pray for daily bread. Indeed, that we would receive it each day. But unlike all evil people, we realize that our daily bread comes from God, and thus we receive it with thanksgiving. As we receive our daily bread, still we are called to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, trusting that everything else we need will be added unto us. So now, consider Peter. Peter, the fisherman, who had toiled all night and yet caught nothing. And at the end of a long, frustrating night of fishing with nothing to show for it, he was at the shore cleaning his nets. And there came to him Jesus, Jesus whom he knew, for he had called him before, along with his brother Andrew. We hear about that in the Gospel of John. Jesus, who had come to Peter's house and healed his mother-in-law, who was sick with a fever. Jesus on that occasion came to Peter and was called to use the tools of his trade for the sake of the gospel. And he obeyed. He put out his boat a little from the land, and from it the Lord Jesus preached. He preached to the crowds that had gathered together, that were even pressing in on him for the express purpose of hearing the word of God. And then again, at the command of Christ, when that task was fulfilled, Simon Peter went out again to work. He went out again to drop his nets. And by the blessing of Jesus, his work was more fruitful than he could have ever dreamed. A multitude of fish gathered together in the nets such that the nets were breaking and the boats began to sink. By this, our Lord Jesus demonstrates his divine authority. As the psalm says, all things are under his feet, even the fish of the sea, the things that move among the paths of the sea. Peter, in his calling to be a Christian, carried out his vocation. At the Lord's command, he used what had been given to him for the sake of the gospel. At the Lord's blessing, he received exactly that for which he worked. And so from this, again, in the first place, we learn that we ought to trust. No matter the circumstances of our life, even when our work proves frustrating or fruitless, that the Lord is good, that he will bless us in his time and in his way. For as Hannah sang at the beginning of 1 Samuel, the Lord makes poor and he makes rich. He brings low and he exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. Yes, it is the Lord who grants daily bread. It is the Lord who blesses our daily work. And therefore, as Christians, our calling means that we should pray and then go about our business. Or as we learn in the small catechism, we sing a hymn like that of the Ten Commandments, and then go joyfully to our work, trusting that the Lord Jesus is with us in that work, just like he was there with Peter in the boat. But from this lesson, we also learn that a Christian calling will come under attack. And in this instance, it will be attacked by the accusations of the law, accusations of your sin, and your unworthiness to receive daily bread from God, your unworthiness to receive God's blessings. Peter, who went out at Jesus' word, first so that Jesus might preach from the boat, and then so that he might obey the Lord's command and let down his nets for a catch, then called on Jesus to depart from him, to go away. Now, mind you, this is after Peter had just received an abundant material blessing from the Lord. Several, in fact. He caught that great number of fish, even though they had worked all night and caught nothing. The nets were breaking, and yet they did not split. The fish was brought into the boat. The boats began to sink, and yet they remained afloat. All of these good gifts came from the Lord Jesus there in the boat with Peter, and yet Peter was stricken with terror to the point that he begged the Lord Jesus to depart from him. Like Isaiah in his vision, Peter knew that he was unworthy to be in the presence of holiness. He was an unclean sinner, a man of unclean lips. Like the widow at Zarephath, we'll hear in a few weeks about her. Peter was afraid that the holiness of God had come upon him in righteous wrath and judgment, that the blessing was temporary, but the condemnation would be eternal. Again, from this we learn that faith in Jesus may appear to be a simple matter at first. To follow his call may seem easy at the beginning. But we find soon that we are tempted to despair and that we are not as well grounded in the faith as we ought to be. How hard it is to believe that Jesus Christ, who dwells in our heart through faith, wishes to dwell with us who have nothing good in us. Human nature, we see from this account, corrupted by sin, not only cannot bear a righteous and angry God, but cannot even bear God when he comes in his goodness, with his abundant blessings. Even then, the law shouts, God is good, but not to you, because you are a sinner. Under the accusations of the law, with its unbreakable demands, the only thing the sinner can say is, depart from me, for I am indeed a sinful person. The law offers no comfort for the sinner, not even in the face of great material blessings. The only thing that will bring comfort to the conscience, the only thing that will bring peace to the soul, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who comes and says, do not be afraid. Hope for sinners is found not in Jesus' departure, but in his presence. If you are troubled by your sins, as Peter was, if you have received great and many gifts of daily bread and yet recognize your unworthiness even for a crumb, don't flee from Christ, but flee to him. When your conscience strikes you because you have fallen short of the glory of God, don't avoid the church, but rather come to the church. Come to the service. Hear the absolution that your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Hear the gospel. Hear the sermon, which tells you of Jesus Christ crucified for you. Receive the sacrament of the altar, the very body and blood of Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, given and shed for you by his express declaration for the forgiveness of your sins. For Jesus Christ came not to condemn the world, but in order that the world would be saved through him. Again, he is the good shepherd who seeks out his lost lambs that he might deliver them from danger and carry them home on his shoulders. He is that loving father who runs to his prodigal son while he is still yet a long way off and embraces him and clothes him with a new robe of righteousness and declares him once more to be an heir of the kingdom. He is that good physician who heals those whose hearts are sick, corrupted, decaying with sin, and grants them new life, life in abundance. He is the good teacher, in whom alone we hear the words of eternal life. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save the lost. And he has sought the lost, he has saved the lost by offering himself on the cross as a payment for the sins of the whole world, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood. And with his innocent suffering and death did he redeem you. And the preaching of that cross, the crucified Jesus Christ, silences all fear and doubt and creates new confidence and joy. as Peter learned, Jesus, the pure and righteous one, is not defiled by unclean sinners, but rather defiled sinners are purified by him who is perfectly clean. Finally, then, we learn that our Christian calling may mean giving up earthly goods, but in the end, it will certainly mean gaining even greater heavenly treasures. Now, it may not, of course. Following Jesus does not necessarily require one to leave your way of life, although it does require you to take up your cross and to follow Jesus and to seek him where he may be found, in his word and sacrament. And so the early Christians, as we read in the book of Acts, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the breaking of the bread and to the prayers. And so you also are called to set aside your work, your leisure, anything else, for a time that you might gather together and devote yourself to the word of God, to the sacrament of the altar, to the worship, the prayers of the church. It also means that you are to take what you have received through your labor and use it for the good of others, for the church, the gospel, the poor and the needy. Again, just as Peter used his boat so that Christ might preach, so also God calls you to use what you have gained through your labor for the sake of others. And certainly, of course, it will all be left behind when you die. None of these earthly goods will be taken with you to heaven. But all the same, God may call you to leave behind these earthly goods for his sake, here and now. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called by Jesus to leave behind their nets and their boats and even that great catch of fish to follow Jesus and to catch men, or as Jesus says in the parallel passages to this account, to be fishers of men. Christ called them specifically to leave behind the vocation of fishermen and do the work Jesus had done, preaching, teaching, catching people alive. Through the word of God, like Jesus, they were to go forth and make disciples of all nations. They were hard workers as fishermen. They were called to be hard workers still, as fishers of men. They were called to speak in his name so that whoever would hear him heard Jesus. And again, Christ still does the same today. He still calls some men to go and to carry out his command, to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is true, not all have this calling. Some obey that by supporting those who go, but there are some who are called to go. To use the example of the fishermen, there are some who are called to build the boats, others called to weave the nets, some are called to just pack the lunches for the fishermen, but there are some who are called to do the fishing. And so, especially men of the congregation, I speak to you. God calls men to leave behind their earthly work so that they might still become fishers of men, to become pastors. As you know, our congregation is in the middle of a call right now. We are calling such a man to come and preach the gospel, to administer the sacrament, to cast out the net of God's word, to bring souls into his heavenly kingdom. God may call you to do the very same thing. So be open to that call, men, young and older. It is a blessed call, because according to Jesus, whoever hears you hears me. And even when that work seems fruitless, nevertheless, the word always accomplishes God's will. Fish will always be caught through that net of the word of God. Yes, men, if God calls you to become a fisher of man by becoming a pastor, remember the word of Peter. At your word, O Lord, I will. Yes, even forsake all that I have right now in order to follow you. Whether that call is for you as a man, certainly men and women, young and old, you have the calling to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit still calls you by the gospel, enlightens you with his gifts. He sanctifies and keeps you in the Christian faith. First, The law comes to break you, yes, like Peter, but then the gospel comes to give you peace, as Jesus said. And if God himself has called you by the gospel, then he will abundantly bless you, no matter what fears and anxieties threaten you. Indeed, as we prayed, he has prepared for you good things that surpass all understanding, and his promises exceed all that you can desire. So God grant that we always hear and heed the call of Jesus Christ to follow him, that we who have been called by the gospel and cling to it in faith may be sanctified and kept unto life everlasting. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.